fuck you! Australia! Germany!
Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Only at the last minute did I realize the third switch had not been thrown. So you missed the part of the intro that you've only heard every night for the last 10 years or so. But anyway, this is The Horn. This program is live. It is the 17th day of February, 2016. And, yep, about a minute past the hour as we begin this midweek version of the program, the midweek edition. But of course, it is ever so much more than midweek. It's more than Wednesday. It's more than downhill to Friday. It's more than hump day. Brethren and sistren, ho-ho, it is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Oh, it really is. But before we get to the particular thanks go out, yes, thanks go out indeed to our subscribers. Thanks very kindly to, thanks to Laborman, yes, and thanks also to Greg down San Diego way. Those subscriptions came in overnight, meaning that we only have $180 to raise this evening. We usually try to raise $200. Those two subscriptions came in overnight, and just moments ago, a first-time contribution from Stephen in Georgia. Thank you very, very kindly for that as well. We've got $155 to go. And then a dispatch from the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Yes, the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society will round up all contributions by $10 for the next 20 donors. Yes, indeed. That's pretty exciting. That means the next, you contribute 10, the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society will turn it into 20. You contribute 20, the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society will turn that into 30. You do 50, it becomes 60 for the next 20 donors. And being as how it's prayer meeting Wednesday, that would also be the next 20 folks to kick something into the collection plate as it comes around. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, indeed. Thank you very kindly to the executive director of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society for that roundup challenge for the evening. Thank you very much indeed. You know who you are. So 5 becomes 15, 10 becomes 20, 20 becomes 30, 30 becomes 40, 40, 50, etc. 20 people in total. And I think since they came in so closely together, it would only be fair and fitting to include Stephen's first-time contribution to the program in that. So Stephen, thanks to the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society, your 25 just became 35. Neat. Thank you very kindly, one and all. It is indeed prayer meet. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Yeah. Ha! Beat you to it, Tim. Tim? Yep. Tim's off of his feed this evening. You're all in on it now. Little Gray in the chat room says, perhaps the Cuppy King knows this garrulous fellow's name. Feller's name. Mm-hmm. Thank you very kindly, Randy and PA. I can hear you on iTunes on my Mac. I appreciate it. Thank you. I was slow on the uptake on the third switch there. That's why you had a little bit of Wagner, Vivaldi, Glockenspiel, what have you. But there it was. So, yes, it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. And I got to tell you, and so the magic of the secret open carry Happy Trails Roundup Society works again anonymously, and that goes from 10 to 20. So far there's 20, there's $20 out of, or two out of the 20 donors available to be rounded up by the secret open carry Happy Trails Roundup Society on board. We got 18 more slots that are available. It is indeed Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. If you'd like to join the congregation, they are all happily ensconced in the pews. I mean, we spray, but they're still pews. Happily ensconced. In the pews, you too can join in by running over to headonradionetwork.com and going clicking on the tab that says chat room, where you will be among the faithful, to wit, ergo forthwith, post nobles, namely Jugapunch, King of Cups, Laborman, Little Gray, Stockton Larry, Texas T. All capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderators, and on Wednesday, Deacons, Lottie, and Sparky. Mm-hmm. Yes, I could tell you who the anonymous contributor was, but then we'd have to kill you. So, yeah, right. Uh huh. Now. We did. It's a little gray here in the hills and hollers. It's been gray all day. It's February. February is a long, 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 short month. And in an attempt to spice up those grim days, heat them up, it was a big old pie. You know, we're nowhere near Memorial Day yet, but all the churches get together on Memorial Day and 4th of July, and they have chicken stew and barbecue, and the little old blue-haired ladies there in the basement of the church whooped up a big pot. Thank you very kindly, Brother Jeremy, loud and clear on tune in. Good to know. The little old blue-haired ladies in the fellowship hall kitchen whipped up a giant pot of chicken stew. Oh, merciful goodness, it's good. Cornbread, fresh and hot, not sweet, not cake. If God wanted sugar to be in cornbread, he'd have called it cake. Uh-huh. Cornbread, chicken stew, a little bit of green salad. Too early for poke salad. But nonetheless, oh, it was delicious. Delicious. And a warm bread pudding. Just to keep that whole warm theme going. Of course, the youngins didn't even have a prayer. No, the deacons trundled up to the table, and the warm bread pudding was gone before the little ones could even get there. Of course, the little ones don't need to be getting into that bourbon sauce anyway. I mean, right. And then they trundled their bulk up the stairs, up two flights, huffing and a puffing harder than Uncle Nino Scalia chasing a peasant. I mean, pheasant. And they stood out there in the parking lot, smoking with the sinners. But as is our wont every Wednesday evening, we sent Sister Carol Baker out there to chase them back into the building. We ran them through the vestibule, down past that 20-year-old bowl of desiccated butter mints, and they are now waiting down front, eagerly anticipating your participation based upon the kind action of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Yes, just keep one eye cracked, but with every head bowed and every eye closed, just with one open E, as Chaucer once wrote, to make sure you don't get cronked in the head with that big old heavy brass velvet line plate that has the PayPal button in the bottom. Just press it as it comes by, as we bring the minister of music forward. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. To lead us in the offertory hymn. Brother minister of music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around!
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around!
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, mersey dotes and dozy dotes and little lambsy divey, a kiddly divey too, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Oh, glory, amen, hallelujah, brethren and sistren. It is prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn, and there, as you sit in the pews, I'm calling upon you now, brethren and sisters, to get up out of your seat, onto your feet, and out into that center aisle and look down the long, long corridor that leads to eternity. And come on down that blood-red aisle and fall. Amen, glory. Upon your knees and lay your hands upon the subwoofer at the altar and feel the common sense rays of flowing through you from a server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Antagonized, Agnostic, Animated, Animist, Vicarious, Vicar, Maximum, Metropolitan, Bob Kincaid, and this here is Prayer Meeting Wednesday in the Cathedral of Common Sense. Amen. Hallelujah, brethren and sistren. I want to tell you things are only getting better. Just heard from Robert, and he has taken up the offer of the Secret Open Carry Roundup Society, and glory, hallelujah, our fundraising goal for the evening is down to only $90, with 17 slots remaining. in the secret open carry roundup society's roundup offer for the evening. Amen and amen. Now, I tell you what, brethren and sisters, there is nothing like having one of the saints of glory called home to bring out the manifestations of faith. Amen and amen. Among the godly in this, our fallen heathen land. Amen. Bless his holy name. Now, given the work we have to do in this evening's Bible study prayer meeting Wednesday, Brother Deacon Asa has asked me to inform you that he has carefully placed $50 worth of seed money on the Ouija board table, which he is hoping one or more of the courageous congregants of the Cathedral of Common Sense will step up and help meet. As always, I'd like to warn my pious brothers and sisters in crust, lest we drop and shatter that Titanic collection plate when it comes around. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Ain't God good? So figure it out. So that's two more slots, the way I figure it, in the Secret Open Carry Society Roundup Challenge. Because when someone answers, or it could be five or seven. Math is magical. After all, we're talking about a religion that says one plus one plus one equals one. Brothers and sisters, hallelujah, mysterious are the ways of the Lord. So the way that works is everybody that matches Brother Deacon Ace's challenge gets their matching money, gets $10 added to it. Oh, this could be big. This could just knock the very teeth right out of the fundraising goal for the evening and get us started on Thursday. Hallelujah. Amen. So there it is. There it is. Seed faith. The faith of a mustard seed. Right on the end of the nose of Ulysses S. Grant on a $50 bill. It's there. Amen. Now all it has to do is to be met. Glory, glory, glory. So like I said, ain't nothing like one of God's elect being called home to bring out the manifestation of grief-filled piety. I don't understand myself necessarily so much insofar as Antonin Scalia is up there a plucking away at his heart even as we speak. And with any hope at all in paradise, he's a lot better of human being than he was on earth. But just consider. I mean, there's dogma and there's dogma. Let's check in with that famous theologian. The one we call the Beckerhead, as he explains to us why it became necessary for the Almighty to call Antonin Benito Scalia home. Because that's what he did. He's calling him home. That's what you call it. He's done got called home. Tell us about it, Beckerhead.
I was listening to you guys, and I just wanted to say, Pat, I think an answer for you on that, because I did the same thing. I first thought,
what?
Okay, God, thanks, thank you,
right.
Right. Thank you for that. And then I said the same thing. I remembered it was exactly the same thing that I felt when Sandy hit. And I remember we were trying to go up and help campaign.
And we thought the same thing then.
For Mitt Romney, remember that?
Yep.
And Sandy hit, and we couldn't go up. We couldn't get any flights up. And then, you know, they were walking on the beach like two lovers. And I thought to myself, thank you. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate that. What is your plan?
Yeah.
So I don't want to assume that I know his plan, but I will tell you this.
And so you'll notice that he doesn't know his plan, but he's going to tell you his plan. That's how it has to work when you're a prophesying, you understand. And yeah, absolutely.
I thought when this happened, after I got past the thank you, I thought, you're welcome. I just woke the American people up. I took them out of the game show moment and woke enough of them up to say, look at how close your liberty is to being lost. You now have lost your liberty. You replace one guy, and you now have 5-4 decisions in the other direction.
Tyranny.
Every time.
Just with this one guy, you've lost your liberty. So you better elect somebody that's going to put somebody on, because for the next 30 years, if you don't, the Constitution, as you know it, Pat, you and I have said this for a long time, the Constitution is hanging by a thread.
Oh, where have we heard that phrase before, brethren and sistren? When the Constitution hangs by a thread, a Mormon will rise up, a white horse, and say, I'll save you, Constitution. The Mormon white horse prophecy. And of course, Glenn Beck is a Mormon. He once told a crowd that that the reason he became a Mormon, and you know, you can find this out there, this is verifiable. I don't just make stuff up. I don't just do things. The Beckerhead told people that the reason he became a Mormon was because he wanted to get up under the woman who hadn't yet married him's skirt. Crass, yes. Kind of cynical, absolutely. But he said so. I became a Mormon because I wanted to get laid. In fact, I think it was very nearly that sentence. I became a Mormon because I wanted to get laid. I wanted to have sex with her, and she said, not until we're married and you're a Mormon. So married and Mormon he became. Well, you know what St. Augustine said? Something like, make me a pious man, O Lord, but, you know, not yet. Well, Glenn Beck got to yet. God sent a white horse with an alarm clock, and we all just kind of, yeah, I don't know about you, but I think I'm going to hit the snooze button.
That thread has just been cut. And the only way that we survive now is if we have a true constitutionalist.
Thank you to our good friends at Right Wing Watch for providing that magnificent clip. So no, it wasn't that one in our White House. It was not the Kenyan Muslim usurper that bumped off Antonin Scalia. In fact, it wasn't even, as the theory now goes, it wasn't Leonard Nimoy, undead Leonard Nimoy. I mean, remember, we all saw the movie. You think Spock's dead, but he's really not. He's sort of growing in one of those in one of those prepackaged pots on the Genesis planet. Genesis, see? There's our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. And Leonard Nimoy had Antonin Scalia bumped off. From the article, the wild card in this equation is likely Leonard Nimoy, who various leaked reports have identified as the newest leader of the Illuminati. While there is much debate about that secretive group's ultimate motives, many citizen journalists suspect that they are expanding their control through both European-style socialism and Bilderberg Group-branded international cooperation schemes. the recent climate change summit is the perfect example of this, as it gives foreign authorities the power to override both congressional and constitutional protections. As many know, the presence of the United Nations on American soil will lead to gun seizures and restrictions on Christian freedom of speech. Wait a minute! The guns are having seizures? No, 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 Carol, not Leonard Nimoy. Spock! Stop it, Spock. That delicious piece of satire is from a website called harddawn.com. Because morning in America won't be easy. Morning in America, like we noted last night, is so damn difficult, in fact, that you can't even, that the little Marco Rubio's campaign can't even afford to go out and have somebody shoot footage of Morning in America. They have to shoot, they have to buy stock footage of Morning in Vancouver instead. Yeah, really? That, of course, is parody, the Nimoy connection. But that doesn't mean that there aren't just oodles of people out there trying to figure out how it was that a young man in the prime of life got cut down at the tender age of 79 by grim death. How? How? Devin pointing out that the Beckerhead is made of Illuminati. He's a member of the Illuminati. But he's been foiled. You're going to smoke a turd in hell for that, Devin. I just want you to know. But these are dire times. These are, in fact, dangerous times. Who better to tell us just how dangerous those times are than good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, Christian, evangelical, gundamentalist, amosexual, Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a very long, long, long time. Yes, yes. Father of the anointed future King of America, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz. I'm sorry, there's something about saying all that that just makes it. I was overtaken by the spirit of Ricardo Montalban. I just kind of expect Raphael one of these days to start talking about fine Corinthian leather. That joke's probably a little bit too old for a lot of people. Ricardo Montalban was once the spokesperson for Chrysler Motors, And he pitched the fine Corinthian leather of the Chrysler Cordoba. America is in jeopardy, though. Rafael Cruz can tell us about it. Thoughts and prayers, y'all. Thoughts and prayers. Brother Deacon Gerald pointing out, yeah, because God loves game shows. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that's what it did. Just America just locked into that there Steve Harvey. I'm wondering is it Ms. Philippians or Ms. Columbia? You know that he even screwed that up, right? He referred to after he screwed yeah he referred to Ms. Philippines as Ms. Philippians. Two Corinthians. Two walk into a bar. Never mind. Here's the stakes. Here's what faces Merca, the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever in the universe, under God bless America, in God we trust, accept no substitutes, amen. Take it away, Raphael. You, and then, the clip I forgot to get, that wonderful clip from being there. You tell Raphael, I have a message from Raphael. What was it? Yeah.
What about taking away their weapons? Were the Cuban people disarmed?
Absolutely. You know, but historically, every tin horn dictator has taken away the weapons from the people and then used them against the people. Stalin.
Where's his reverb? He's no fun without the reverb. Wait a minute. Let me see if I can help.
And did it. Hitler did it. Pol Pot did it. Mao did it. Castro did it.
What about here in America? There's this cry from the left, we must disarm it, that the arms, the guns are causing all this problem.
What? Well, this is insidious. You know, President Obama is trying to use every time he can to disarm America. When Newtown...
Making Ricky Ricardo jokes is probably not acceptable, is it? I didn't think so. Oh, Devin. Okay, back to Raphael. We're going to talk about guns for a little bit, but then we're going to finally, because guns. Well, remember, I mean, Scalia was down there on a free trip from a litigant because ethics? What ethics? We don't need no stinking ethics. Wow, what I wouldn't pay to hear Rafael Eduardo Cruz say that. Never mind.
...occurred. Mm-hmm. He immediately tried to push gun control legislation, even when we had the San Bernardino thing. Mm-hmm. Immediately he was talking about gun control.
The what? The San Bernardino thing? It's his language! San Bernardino is a San Bernardino? I expect that from Billy Bob Knucklebutt. But this guy... Mommy.
Well, but, you know, if you take away the guns, the only guns they're going to take away are the guns of law-abiding citizens. Yeah. The criminals are not going to relinquish their guns. And a population that is disarmed is under... under the threat of control. As a matter of fact, the Second Amendment was written to protect us against the government.
Sure.
No, dumbass. No. And I say that in all sincerity. Rafael Eduardo Cruz is a dumbass. Rafael Eduardo Cruz does not have sense enough to pour piss out of a boot with directions on the heel. The Second Amendment, that's what that militia language is about. It's not, who the fuck does he think the militia is? It's an element of government. And this is a man of God. Well, that just means he gets to lie with impunity. No, he lies with his mouth. Oh, Jeremy's thinking deviously. I wonder, has Pat ever been Rickrolled on the air? What would that be like? I would pay good money to see Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a very long time, get up and start belting out a chorus of Never Gonna Give You Up. Oh, okay, I'm... Ricky Ricardo jokes aren't okay? What? The hell they aren't? Says Carol. Totally appropriate. Ted wants to be in the show. Oh, Raphael, you're doing too much splaining. And let's understand, I make fun of my own hillbilly accent, okay? So this is open season. Especially if you're going to have the silly accent and lie while using it. And that was just a great big honking stupid lie, that was. But we're not anywhere near done.
You see the parallels between the United States and Cuba. If you wanted to warn people, you've written a book and you said it's the time for action. What action should we be taking now?
Well, you know, we are where we are primarily because the church has been silent.
Mm-hmm.
For too many years,
which one?
The church...
Which? No. Fuck me running. Which church has been silent? Pick one. Name me one. any one church that has been silent. Because the last I check, these miserable bastards run their mouths all the time. They politic from the pulpit. They tap dance all over the IRS rules for charitable organizations under 501c3. They make a mockery of the separation of church and state. Which church was silent, Raphael? Jeebus. Because the church has been silent. Stay thirsty, my friends.
Action. What action should we be taking now?
Well, you know, we are where we are primarily because the church has been silent.
Mm-hmm.
For too many years, the church has believed this lie of separation of church and state. Mm-hmm. That is neither in the Constitution nor in the Declaration. 1962, when prayer was taken out of schools, the church remained silent.
Mm-hmm.
You... Mm-hmm. When prayer was taken out of schools, except that it was not. And see, you can always deal with these fools by looking at them. Okay, whose prayer? Which church's prayer? Catholic prayer? Baptist prayer? Presbyterian? Anabaptist? Albigensian? Which prayer? What? Because it just becomes, well, we can just have a moment of silence. Whose silence? How do you define it? What if someone doesn't want to participate in that? Well, they're not allowed. They need to leave. But then doesn't that become that the very dictatorial totalitarianism this freak claims to oppose? Well, yes, as a matter of fact, it does. Brother Deacon Gerald points out, that's right, Raphael, the Second Amendment is to protect against the government, just like it did for ammonium nitrate Bundy in Oregon. Wait a minute. See, it gets complicated pretty quick with these yahoos.
When the Bible was taken out of school a year later in 1963, the church remained silent. Their excuse is a political issue. How can you call prayer a political issue? How can you...
What? The very fact that this guy is prattling on means the church has not been remained silent. I was born in 1963. I started going to church almost immediately, and from that day to this, they're still prattling on about the they done took the prayer out of school. Meanwhile, all over America, especially down in Bible Belt Central, little unprepared students pray their happy little asses off before algebra tests and English quizzes. Jesus, 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 please, please, Jesus, help me remember. What was the name of that white trash family in To Kill a Mockingbird? What was the name? What? Oh, please, Jesus! And nobody's ever stopped any of them from doing it. It just, you know, they get D's.
Called Bible study a political issue, but that's what the church did. The consequence of that, teen pregnancy skyrocketed after 1963, as so did violent crime. 10 years later.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Somebody do me a favor. Just... like early tomorrow, send me an email, say, Bob, don't forget to go to the liquor store and get the cheap tequila. Not praying in school leads to teen pregnancy? Really?
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Because I'm pretty sure I know what leads to teen pregnancies. And that would be teens having sex. Am I right? Yes. And because we stopped praying in school, violent crime went up. I'm sure the rise in violent crime didn't have anything to do with the Vietnam War, militarizing an entire generation of young men, bringing them home. And because, see, historically, and then again, oh, no, not Rome again. Yes, Rome again. That has been one of the eternal questions. When you take folks and you send them off and you tell them it's perfectly legal to loot and rob and kill and maim and stomp and bomb and murder and mayhem, and then you bring them home and say, yeah, but it's not anymore, you're going to have a few people who go, you know, I can't adjust to that. But no, it's because we took prayer out of the schools. Simple answers for simple people.
When abortion was legalized, the church again remains on same excuse.
Lying sack of... you can't... I mean, down at the legislature in Charleston this week, a bunch of good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, Christian, amosexual, fundamentalists put little cardboard stop signs on every table. Stop abortion now. You know what? Those weren't the Satanists, Raphael, you damned idiot. Yeah, see, Gerald and I are sharing in the same problem. Gerald says, huh? I thought unprotected sex led to teen pregnancy. Ew. Religion is so hard. Don't say hard. I mean, there's all kinds of things that lead to teen pregnancy. For instance, there was that the starting offensive guard for the Tennessee Volunteers who just got popped. He was texting pictures of his godly, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered penis to what he thought was a 14-year-old girl in Florida. And then he decided to road trip down and meet her. Found out that the 14-year-old girl was a 47-year-old guy from, you know, the FBI. And you see, this is because we take the prayer out of the schools. This guy's a cartoon character. I mean, have you, come on, because, you know, I run clips from it periodically. I just assume that everybody who loves great comedy has seen the 1978 classic The In-Laws with Peter Falk and Alan Arkin, and not the really bad remake with Michael Douglas and what's his face. And he's a character. Rafael Eduardo Cruz is a caricature of a character from that movie. You know, the absolutely stone cold mad Central American dictator who wanted to put who wanted a new flag for Tejada. Remember that? And it was a flag that was a painting of a bare-breasted young woman. And Alan Arkin says, well, is that Mrs. General? And he says, no, he's a prostitute from a small village. This flag should already be flying over the Capitol. But the church, it stand in the way. It stand in the way. I mean...
I am a pacifist by nature with a deep Quaker belief in the sanctity of human life. I wish I had a choice but to kill you.
A political issue. Well, you know, we have what we deserve. June 26th, when we had this decision against traditional marriage by the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
I'll tell you. This has been a wake-up call. How long are we going to remain silent?
What do you see the future of America, right?
Silent, 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 silent. I wished he would remain silent. But you can't get this clown to shut the fuck up. And if he was saying anything of any value whatsoever, you know, maybe. But instead, he just lies. And by the way, when you've got a liar for a father, what's that say about the son? Yeah, I know. I know. He tasks me. He tasks me. Lovely photo, Jude. Lovely photo. And by the way, that whole business of if you do not have the guns, you cannot oppose the tyranny. A little note from Robert in Australia. Hey, who was that guy who took on the British Empire? You know, and threw them out of India without the use of force? That's a myth, a myth. Yes? Never mind. Point well taken, Robert. Meanwhile, a note from Sylvia. Sylvia says, today I'm channeling the same influences as you and Carol. Maybe Cruz Sr. learned Spanglish from old Lucille Ball shows. Yeah. All right, we're going to get through this insanity. Jesus, we're almost halfway there, and we haven't gotten to the part about America being in danger yet, and what's going to happen to us, and you're not going to like it. And you know, Brother Deacon Gerald points out, I don't see how you can consider any entity that is so interested in women's bodies silent. Hell, it's all they talk about, killing babies and shit like that. Look no further than the unrelenting attack on Planned Parenthood. Silent my ass! And then there's Jennifer in Australia. Why is he even talking? No, I mean, really, why? He's just the father of one of the candidates. Why is he even talking? These Cruz boys have Masonic supreme being issues. Meanwhile, Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, notes, silent, they never shut up. I swear if he breaks out in a chorus of Babalu, I'm out of here. I just want to sign him on for the musical stage version of the Road Company of the In-Laws. Oh, Jesus, pigs.
Right now, as it stands...
I am very encouraged, Pat. I am very encouraged because precisely that decision on June 26th, I think the devil overplayed his hand. Mm-hmm. And the church finally has realized we can be silent no more. Mm-hmm. It is time that we draw a line in the sand. You know, praise God that there's so much emphasis on 2 Chronicles 7:14. We must start mm-hmm. on our knees in prayer. But 2 Chronicles 7:14.
You know, Raphael, it's that on our knees part that often leads to teen pregnancy. Just saying.
14 is only half the equation.
All right.
The second half is 2 Corinthians 5:20 that says that we are ambassadors.
Omaha! Omaha!
For Christ. That means we're God's representatives here on earth. Mm-hmm. We're God's hands. We're God's feet. We're God's mouthpiece. And Jesus said, shout it from the housetops.
But we are not God's penis. Just to be sure. Okay. Just.
How important do you think faith is? These candidates are running. Your son has been an outspoken advocate.
What is he, Canadian now? Is everybody Canadian? Did you? Wait, okay. Oh, it's a nefarious conspiracy, isn't it? You sent all the weirdos down here, and you kept the nice ones for up there. No wonder you've got a decent country. It's a goddamn Mariel boat lift south. North. Going south. Like, you know, like easterly winds come out of the east. Don't they? I don't know.
Of Christian principles, what do you think the rest of them? Should they all speak out?
Absolutely. You know, my son said the other day, a man that does not start his day on his knees is not fit to sit in the Oval Office. You know, if the foundations be destroyed, but what can the righteous do? Yeah. We must return to the Judeo-Christian, the biblical, the constitutional foundations that this country was built upon. Otherwise, this country will...
You know, the ones that don't exist. I feel like I'm turning into Gilbert Gottfried.
...be destroyed.
What do you think of the debates that they're having? They've gotten so acrimonious.
Well, it is sad that, you know, all these discussions and all these labels are just distracting from the issues.
Mm-hmm.
All it is distractions. We need to be talking about the issues that are facing America, which are very, very serious.
And before he gets to them, let me posit a few issues facing America that are very, very serious. A young person trying to go to college will often come out with in excess of $100,000 debt that they will be paying off, or at least trying, until they're 65 years old. That's an issue. One in four American children will go to bed hungry on any given night. It's an issue. There are still millions upon millions of working Americans who cannot go to the doctor when they're sick because they do not have health care coverage. That's an issue. A little tiny handful of families controls something like 40 or 50% of the entire wealth of planet Earth. That's an issue. A corporate officers can poison entire communities and not even see a year in jail. That's an issue. A kid with a rock of crack in, a black kid with a rock of crack in his pocket goes up the river for eons. We have the highest rate of incarceration of any developed nation on earth. That's an issue. So we've laid out a few there. Let's see what Raphael thinks is the issue.
Look at the tragic death of Justice Scalia.
Yes.
One of the most...
Tragic? How about foreseeable? Let him go now. Let him go now. Letting everything go. On your knees here, on your knees there, and still born-again Christian Bristol Palin. Just can't learn to swallow. Born-again virgin. Thank you, Carol. Yeah, okay, or Lewis Black. I'm nowhere near, but thank you for the compliment, Gerald. Brother Deacon Asa says, the weirdos choose to go down there because they recognize that Merca will give them a platform. This Cholo, Cruz Sr., must have recognized her. I don't even know what that means. Early on, that his hustle won't amount to a hill of beans up here in Canada because nobody gives a shit about his Jeebus. Oh, point taken. Addressing Raphael, Jennifer says, ha 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 ha, but didn't your book say the book of Matthew 6 or something? Look at me, little old agnostic, trying to quote the Bible to pray in a closet or something. Yeah, it does. Privately, quietly, not loudly in the streets like the Pharisees, for they have their reward.
Mm-hmm.
In the frozen north, Ron says, I think prayer must prime the teenage pump somehow. One of the first times I was conquested, it was by the daughter of a Baptist minister. Isn't it always? A bit further down life's road, I learned several interesting life lessons through the beneficent ministrations of a Chicago rabbi's daughter. I have studied the New Testament, but I have to say that I've gotten more satisfaction from the Old Testament. Oh, oh. Meanwhile, Clinton in the Oval Office on his knees. Now, that gives me a different point of view on history. It all begins with the president who begins the day on his knees. Yeah, it's all right, honey. I'll buy you a new dress. Vince just says, a year? Try a night. But the tragic death of Antonin Scalia.
They're having, they've gotten so acrimonious.
Well, it is sad that, you know, all these discussions and all these labels are just distracting from the issues.
Mm-hmm.
All it is distractions. We need to be talking about the issues that are facing America, which are very, very serious. Look at the tragic death of Justice Scalia.
Yes.
One of the most constitutionally sound justices we've ever had. And this could tilt the balance of the court. And like you said earlier today, this could be something that would affect America for the next 30 years.
Oh, you fucking liar. Affect the balance of the court. And what he means by that is take the unbalance of the court away from us and give it to those heathens. Now, I'm not going to apologize for the stupid accent with this jackass. Any way there is to mock him, he needs to be mocked. Yeah, true, Devin, true. Where's Ken Starr when you need him? Well, we're not quite there yet. This would be about the time you'd be reaching for the hockey puck, please.
We don't have 30 years, Pat.
That's right. Well, the Democrats are trying to force us to go along with an Obama nominee, which will tilt the court liberal, and the Republicans need to stand firm against it. They've got to hold up until they can get somebody that, is a solid conservative.
Well, absolutely. And actually, for the last 80 years, no nominee for the Supreme Court has been confirmed in the last year of the election. We have an election in less than a year. We need to let the American people...
Yo, please, God, be real. And just... Rafael Cruz, you god-awful liar. 1988 is not 80 years ago. Shortly before the election, when Dwight Eisenhower used the recess appointment to put Brennan on the court, is not 80 years ago. But there isn't. There isn't. He's not there. If he does, he apparently appreciates lying more than most of us do. You might say that he's an aficionado of it. Because he lets nasty old creeps like this get away with it. 80 years. Does this tell us something about the followers of the right wing, that they just hear and obey and they take everything for granted and they don't even drill down, they don't even look? They're not even curious. Well, Rafael Cruz says it's been 80 years, Marveline. Must be, because, I mean, he's a man of God. Yeah, let's get this right.
Confirming the last year of the election. We have an election in less than a year. We need to let the American people speak.
Mm-hmm.
If the Democrats want to appoint somebody, let them win the election. Then they will have the opportunity to appoint. The balance of the court cannot be tilted in a lame duck year. It's just not done.
Except that it is, and has been many times, many, many times. And a little reminder. And it's all tax-free. Jennifer says, one of the things I love so much about Graham, her partner, is his Spartan, innocent veracity, as opposed to my verbose disheartenment. He walks past and says, why, when black babies die, it's God's will, but when a 79-year-old bloviating, walking heart attack scumbag dies, Obama did it? Jennifer did clear things up a little bit, though. That would be 1988, 80 years ago in the world where we had dinosaurs. Sorry, Bob, my hand slipped as the fucking duct tape slipped. Brother Deacon Asa says, I swear to the Almighty, I expect any second now Raphael will turn to the camera and go, say hello to my little friend. You guys are worse than I am. And Morgantown Roberts says, Cruz, father and son, both liars. Trump's got that part right. Yeah, did you see the clip of Samantha Bee? Go find it from her new program, Full Frontal. She is something special. And the conniption she had when Donald Trump started making sense was precious. They're going to take my comedy show away from me, she wept. And, well, okay, I'm working on it, Carol, I'm working on it. It needs more Ricky Ricardo in lieu of cowbell. Oh, God. So we understand Satan is going to destroy America. If the President of the United States actually does the job that the Constitution of the United States, which he has sworn to uphold, protect, and defend. It gets a little confusing, doesn't it? Nice note coming in from Stephen in Georgia. Stephen said, I wanted to explain why inspired us to send a donation. Says it's only $25, and I know it isn't much, but like a lot of folks, we live from paycheck to paycheck. Stephen, $25 is huge. It's not only not much, it's a ton. You know, we don't run this program to support lavish lifestyles or Gulfstream 5 jets or we joke about them, but that's not the way it is. It's huge. We raise what we need to keep this all going. And thank you so kindly. But Stephen says, when I first heard about the passing of Scalia, my first reaction was to belt out a Homer Simpson, woohoo! What does one do when they want to share great news? Typically, they call the person that is closest to them so they too can share in the joy. In this case, that's my wife, Karen. She was as delighted as I was. After we had time to process the news, we started to feel guilty, for we were raised to be good people, and not take pleasure in others' pain. We were really wrestling with that until we played your podcast from Monday. The way you broke down his passing and the way you explained that one shouldn't feel guilty was brilliant, and it really helped us process the event. You read a letter from a nice lady, I think her name was Carol, and it was. And she summed it up perfectly. Not a direct quote, for I am writing this from memory, but close. It's not that we're celebrating the passage of the man. Moreover, we are celebrating the fact that he can no longer harm others. Thanks, Bob and Ms. Carroll. After listening to Monday's podcast, we now feel absolved. Nothing is free, including absolution, hence our motivation to donate. In closing, we love your show and we listen often. You've got a talent, my friend. It is our hope that we can donate more frequently. Until then, keep it lit. Stephen Karen. In Georgia. I say this from time to time because it is so very, very true. It's words like that that make this worth doing. It is knowing that the conversation we spark here is something that matters to so many people. because we as progressive people, liberal people, whatever we care to call ourselves, we are not blind serfs to authority. We are seekers. Truth seekers, as Malloy notes. We seek truth. We seek facts. We seek process. We seek understanding. And there is so precious, damned little of that out there. That when we can have a community where we can do that, well, many of you have told me many, many times how special this is to you. And again, I repeat, that is a driving force in what makes this worthwhile. Meanwhile, under the rubric, get Cypher and Kincaid. Well, okay, I can do that. Thank you, Gerald. So where were we? $90? Well, that goes down to 80. That goes to $76.27. But through the secret open carry Roundup Society, that becomes 14. So 80. 70, 66. Okay, so there's that. Then the secret open carry Roundup Society takes that down to 56. Okay, then thank you very kindly to Thomas over at FYI. $6.66 seed money gets rounded up to $7, which takes us down to 59. Which, with the secret Roundup Society, a secret open carry Roundup Society, gets taken to 49. Ha 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 ha. I'm getting good at this. $49 to go. Let me see here. Let's see. How was that for Cyphering, Brother Deacon Gerald? And yes, that is much better. Yeah, that is much better than a stupid T-shirt. Oh, this is sweet and kind. Steve in New York responding to Stephen in Georgia says, man, the Horn Family Community Congregation appreciates your small donation. Never, ever denigrate yourself here. Every bit, I mean every bit, Steve says, is necessary. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Ron and Raleigh writing, you realize the right wing doesn't give a rat's ass about facts, don't you, Bob? They just want to win and make everyone live by their rules. Yes, yes, as a matter of fact, I do, Ron, and... have I got this right? That's what makes them fascists. Mm-hmm. And now, from $49, we go to $39, thanks to the secret Open Carry Roundup Society. And from there, we go to, thanks to Ron in the far frozen wastes of the north, which apparently get tidied up rather quickly, even when it's the largest amount of single-day snowfall in the history of Ottawa. We go from $39 to, wait a minute, zero, okay, to 61 to the plus, which means that, working with it here, which means that Brother Deacon Ace's challenge has been met, plus $10. Oh, this is amazing. This is amazing. Thank you all very, very kindly. And that leaves how many slots in the secret open carry Roundup Society offer? Roundup offer? Let's see. 6, 15, 14, 16. I think 13 remain. How do you want me? You want me to do a radio show and simple math at the same time? You're a demanding lot. Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you very kindly, Cindy, in the Great Northwest. Your $49 just rounded up to $59. Or $120 to the good. Awesome. 12 slots remain. Wait. 11 slots remain. Tim, your $24.37 rounds up to $25, becomes $35, and my eyes are beginning to roll back in my head. So that's $156 to the good. That's amazing. That is simply amazing. Look at the power of rounding and matching. By the way, Carol Baker says of Stephen's note, that was so sweet, and I've been so mean all day. I'm feeling the giving spirit of the Lord. Amen. Amen, Sister Carol. Amen. So somebody keep track of the numbers, would you please? Because I'm getting lost. Note coming in from Philip. Subject line, the doctor? The doctor? Like, go to the doctor when you're sick? The doctor? Screw the doctor. How many of us can afford to go to the dentist? Why does this country's alleged health insurance industry distinguish between dental and other health as if they do not influence one another? Oh, this is an excellent point. And exactly who is concerned about the ripoff that passes for dental insurance from any provider? Trust me, Bob, abscesses do not make the heart grow fonder. Ah, clever. As for me personally, given the countless teeth that I have disintegrated over the years, pass me the banjo and juice harp, because I'm fixing to audition for the sequel to Deliverance. I understand. Now, no, there are blind spots in our ideas of medical coverage. Dentistry is one. Vision care, in large part, is another. And I, for the life of me, do not understand why is it like that? No, really, this is a serious question. Is it like that in Canada? Is it like that in the UK? That you get to go to the doctor, but you can't go to the dentist? You get to go to the doctor, but, you know, eyeglasses or hey, LASIK surgery is deemed just, you know, not that worth it? I'm kind of licked. Point well taken. Point well taken indeed, Philip. Brother Deacon Asa is needling us all. He just sent a message with his challenge. Long live Raphael and Raphaelito. Well, okay, because they're comedy gold. I can go that far with you. So let's take a quick break, and then we'll go to the phones. You know the numbers, of course, 304-574-8178, 304-663-4676 is the stress line number. Yep. And, of course, Skype to Skype from anywhere on the planet, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. If you've never sent me a contact request, do so, and we will be chatting before you know it. But for now, we were talking about this last night. This was a Grammy Award-winning song from a favorite artist of mine. And this being prayer meeting Wednesday, the chorus of it has a special relevance. I know I've played this before, but it's worth playing again. This is Jason Isbell of Green Hill, Alabama, home of the Rogers High School Pirates. And, well, again, this one, the Best Roots single, or Best Roots song, at the Grammys Monday night, and it is well, it's well worth the listen. Some people can turn a phrase, and by God, Jason Isbell's one of them. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Yeah, one moment, please. Well, after all that setup, screw it. Let's just go to the phones. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
So, the reason I paid it forward today was one of your listeners, who's become a loyal listener of mine, donated. And I always said I would, so you got our first network donation, because I couldn't not give to someone who donated from your network to us, not to you. So I wanted to thank you for that, because we are building a community.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
So I was able to at least pay it forward with that and get some technology for our March 6th event, which, if you don't mind, I'd like to invite some of your listeners, if they're in the near Detroit area.
Yes.
Or whatnot. We are going to be having a live show, Sunday at 6 show, on March 6th at 6 o'clock at the Anchor Bar. I will have full details at FYNation.com for that very soon on its own page. But it will be with TYT Detroit. And then we're going to go straight into live coverage of the March 6th debate, like we always do. And you're not going to be preempted.
Glory.
So it's going to be a huge event. I mean, we're probably going to have Nikki there. We're going to have Jeff Waldorf, who's called your show. We're going to have a lot of people there. Ron Placone, who's on our network, plus a whole bunch of people. And hopefully, if anybody wants to take the drive out to Detroit and not get shot, preferably.
Yes.
We're gonna have fun. So I wanted to call and thank you for everything, because I wouldn't have been able to get that without you. So it's huge, and, you know, it's appreciated.
Oh, it's absolutely a pleasure, Thomas. Absolutely.
You know, it's like, it reminds me of the scene from, you know, when you pay it forward to Jesus and whatnot.
Yeah, only this is real.
Yeah, exactly. And I see results, which is weird, but I'm okay with that. But, you know, the other question I had for you was, did you see the latest poll where the anointed king of America is up by 7 points nationally?
No, I did not.
Yeah. I talked about it briefly on our show, and I'd like your...
Okay, so we have to double down on the please email me tomorrow morning so I can go and get tequila reminder.
Yes, because it's they're doing it, it's weird. There's dueling town halls. MSNBC is having a Bernie Hillary town hall tomorrow, while CNN is continuing their 2-day town hall for the multitude of Republican jerks that are on, and T. Rump is on MSRNC, DNC, T-Rump at 8 o'clock, I think. But who wants to watch that? Unless you're, you know, a sadomasochist like myself.
Well, no, I'll be honest. I am immune to the weird psychosocial maunderings of T-Rump. But the man, well, it's like, you saw the Samantha Bee clip, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't see that clip, but I did see where he did make some sense.
Well, I mean, bless her heart, she was just coming unglued because she found herself agreeing with T-Rump.
Oh, and Jeff did that on his show yesterday. And me and Blake did during the debate.
Because what he's saying about George Bush is absolutely true, Thomas.
Oh, yeah, indeed. It completely is. And worse, not only is it true, the Republicans are revolting over it. And I love it. It's just, oh, he is a liberal Democrat in sheep's clothing. That's what Prick Cheney called him.
No, that's Count Dicula.
Oh, okay, that works too. Marco Scrubio is getting his endorsement from Nikki Haley. So that'll be fun.
Somebody wants a vice president and job.
Yeah, somebody with actual experience at doing a job. A bad one, but a job.
Well, you know, when he puts on his high heels, he can see Canada.
Well, and that's always special.
From a tugboat.
And did you hear the other weird thing from Russia with Love, or maybe not so much?
You know.
RAF had to turn away two Russian bombers.
From when?
They were this was on Facebook earlier. They were encroaching British airspace.
Had they crossed into it?
No, they hadn't. But it came damn close from all the news, from Sky to BBC. Everybody was reporting this earlier. I'm surprised you didn't see it.
I didn't see it, but, you know, some of these things are less creepy than they seem. Various air forces constantly probe and test to see if anybody, you know, if the other side's paying attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that, you know, that might be this.
But here's the thing, though.
Although that's kind of weird. Can I tell you why that's weird?
Please do.
I don't know if it was something I ate or whatever.
Whoa.
But I had this dream.
You're not getting Rick Wiles on me, are you?
No, because there are no inflatable spiders in the neighborhood, and I don't have a golden retriever named Gator.
Okay, good.
But I looked up, and I can sort of parse where this comes from. I was talking about seeing the jets flying over, the military jets flying over West Virginia a couple of weeks back, and we finally sorted out what we think they were.
Okay.
So that was probably rattling around. You know, I think dreams are sort of your brain defragging.
Okay.
And so stuff just wanders in and out. And I'd had a conversation with somebody earlier in the day, so that person shows up in it.
Yeah.
But I looked up in the sky, and I saw Chinese bombers flying.
Okay.
At very low altitude in the United States. But they weren't using real bombs. It was like we were a practice range.
Okay.
And I just woke up with this really, fuck, I sound like Glenn Beck. God damn. I just woke up with this really weird feeling.
Yeah.
And I'm not, it's prayer meeting Wednesday, but I've not been slain in the spirit, and I am not prophesying.
Damn it. How much more education do you need for that?
It's, but no, it's.
I'm an asshole. What can I
say? Well, no, I think my brain was defragging all of the China stuff that T-Rump says.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there was even a, well, oh God, never mind.
as long as Putin wasn't bare chested on a magical unicorn that you were slaying, I'm okay with you.
No, I don't have any unicorn slaying dreams. I miss out on the fun stuff. I get Chinese bombers.
Okay, well, yeah.
They were really cool looking too. Big sons of bitches with swept Delta wings and like four engines in a square at the back with afterburners on, and they were thum, 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 sort of shooting the bombs out the back.
Okay.
Who knows? Who freaking knows?
At least it wasn't pamphlets.
No, they were plastic bombs. Blue plastic bombs.
Fortune cookies inside.
Shut up.
You know I had to. You opened the door. I walked right through.
But yeah, I can't. I can't trust any of you people anymore.
Especially not me. Again, I'm an asshole.
Well, you said it. I didn't.
And I will keep saying it until it's written on my tune song. Written, whichever.
Mm-hmm. It's just we're living in a very weird space.
Yes, we are. But on the bright side of it all, we don't have to worry about getting down on our knees every day. Well, me a little bit, but besides the point.
That leads to teen pregnancy.
Yeah, that is true. Especially if you're doing it wrong and not pulling. Yeah, never mind.
Yep. Right. Leave it alone, Thomas. Leave it alone.
So, when you were on air, we never had that personal talk that we were supposed to have. So,
one of these days, I got to have a long talk with that boy.
Speaking of long talks, one more plug, if you don't mind.
Yes.
The wonderful, amazing, and I'm going to, I need your advice, how not to be complete fanboy. Mike Malloy is going to be on our show on Sunday at 6.
Oh, no, you don't need any advice. Be all the fanboy you want.
What you'll
find is he is who he is because of who he is. It's like talking to your next door neighbor.
Yeah. I've only called him once, and I was intimidated as hell, and I realized...
Well, you did that to you.
Well, yeah, I know, but I'm my own worst enemy. I think, Putin...
As long as you're not your own worst enemy, we're okay.
Well, yeah, Putin and stilettos, but...
Thomas.
Point being, once it was over, I was like, oh my God, that was easy. And I don't want, that's my biggest fear, because he is, of course, the great Mike Malloy. I don't want to make an ass out of myself. I could do that.
He is the godfather of progressive radio.
Indeed. And I got to do amazingly huge thanks to Nikki for really getting me back into him again and everything else, because that's how I found you, was Nikki, so she's to blame. And that's how the ball got rolled. But I want to give anybody else the opportunity to call tonight. I just, before I laid down to get my unbeauty sleep, I wanted to thank you again for everything that you do for our network and for yours.
Well, I do appreciate it. That's very, very kind, Thomas. And I wish you well with the gig in up in Detroit.
Yes, thank you. And you have a great night.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. The one and only Thomas from FYINation.com. More information will be forthcoming about the big event in Detroit. Yes, I agree. I agree, Ron. It would have been a much cooler dream if the Chinese bombers had been flying over the Bible Belt and dropping condoms and morning after pills. That just would have been... I'll work on it, okay? I'll work on it. That's all I can say. God only knows what tonight's dreams will be. That's what the tequila's for, to sort of keep those goddamn things at bay. Let's run over and... There's Jim in Louisiana, Stan. Hey, Jim.
What's up, Bob?
Well, man.
Interesting week so far.
If it gets any interestinger, I don't know if I'll be able to take it.
Yeah, I love the way, conspiracy, you know, who was it? One of your favorites, who's the guy?
Alex Jones.
Yeah.
I knew before you even said it.
Yeah, I was sending you a psychic.
And I received it. I received it.
But, you know, I love the way conspiracy theories come into play, you know, whenever it seems like they're involved. And, I love the way they try and discredit the Garrison dude. That wasn't a conspiracy. But after that, it seemed like about 5, 10, 15 years after, then all of a sudden it seemed like the far right started focusing on it, you know? Is that by imagination? Is that how you kind of recall it?
Pretty much.
Yeah, because it was out of the question. And now, I mean, the right wing always seems to be upset, and it's always the Democrats. Now, I think they saw how my view on that, on the whole JFK thing, and probably Bobby and Martin Luther King, too. I have very little doubt about those two. But I think they saw how well that works. So I think they figured, just to incorporate it. But now it seems like every time the right wing opens up their mouth, everything's, they use that as a selling point, you know? It's the left conspiracy. And to some extent,
well,
did you
notice how it's all our fault that, Rafael Cruz was pissing and moaning about, it's our fault that there's acrimony in the country. They're the ones telling that we're not running around telling anybody's going to hell. They are.
Yeah,
we're not running around telling women they don't have the right to control their bodies. They are. We're not running around saying that everybody needs a gun. They are. But we're the one who's ones who are dividing the country. Got it.
Yeah. Kind of jumping around that was the father of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, future king of America.
Yes. That was Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American for a really long time.
Right, with Pat Robertson.
Yes. And I've got more Pat Robertson this evening. And it's an important, it might even rise to the level of being an Alex Jones emergency transmission.
Yeah, well, and I loved it when he says, we're God's hands and feet. I mean, what the fuck?
Although I tend to think that Rafael Eduardo Cruz is God's butthole, but, you know.
Yeah, what was the other one?
Because he spews nothing but crap, you know? It just makes sense.
And a man who doesn't start his day on his hands and knees, well, maybe he's got a happy wife, I guess. I don't know.
Really? Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah. But that's just crazy. How do you get, I mean, I know you don't sit there recording all of the show. I guess there's some sort of website or something. You can get.
Oh, Right Wing Watch is wonderful. I don't know how they do it. They have people who actually sit and record this crap and listen to this stuff. And I don't know what the work lifespan is of say an intern or associate at Right Wing Watch. I don't know. Because you can't possibly do this for too very long without either becoming hopelessly addicted to some substance or just running, tearing at your hair and clothing right out the door. And I guess the executive director of Right Wing Watch just goes, "Well, we lost another one." Because it's crazy making.
Yeah, well, unless you don't have a grip on reality, I mean, I'm sure some people eat that stuff up. In fact, I know a lot of people do. Because, you know, just in your day-to-day meeting other people, dealing with other people sometimes, if you know, the right situation's there, and sure enough, there's a Yahoo who believes it, or I can tell, and I just don't even go there. why waste your time talking to them? I mean, that's just a waste of time.
Oh, see, I don't. For the most part, I try to avoid flame wars or any of that silliness that you can engage in online. I just don't do it anymore. Life is too short. I mean, that's why there are no right wingers allowed on this program.
Right.
Because I'm not going to waste. And look, I know there are broadcasters out there who get some sort of thrill or whatever out of having wingnuts come on their program and occasionally refer to them as national treasures and whatnot. I've got more respect for our community than to subject them to right-wing bilge. Because you can go and listen to right-wing bilge anytime, anywhere, any day. Okay, it's ubiquitous. But having a place where we can be together and not have to put up with that scroobage, which is screwy garbage, well, those are pretty damn rare. You know, that's why when one shows up on Malloy's radar, he quickly eviscerates them and then tells Kathy to throw this asshole off my air. It ain't worth the time.
Yeah, well, like you said, I mean, you basically have to. I mean, you just can't buy a regular. I mean, a TV you can forget about. There's really nothing on. I mean, you got the MSNBC, you know, that liberal bastion. But everything else is just right wing, and then radio. If you don't get
terrestrial radio is just a wasteland.
Yeah, and then the internet—that's the only way. I mean, you have to have internet, and so you got to pay the extra money. So, I'm sure nobody in the Horn family is aware of this. You know, well, it's like with Malloy switching to he's on the internet now. That's the only way you can get him. And there were like a couple of callers, you know, and they were glad before they switched to the new format. They weren't able to get the necessary equipment, you know, new technology or whatever, or weren't familiar with it. And Malloy did what he could. But I mean, I can understand how somebody would be in that position, you know.
Well, I mean, and then you know, there's the whole thing, and Malloy has talked about it quite eloquently and at some length. The format of terrestrial radio is wildly frustrating. Just when you think you're getting wound up and getting going, boom, break.
Oh yeah, the 9 minute. It's almost, you got watched it, 9 minutes. It's almost nine. Seems like it's 9 minutes.
Some of the blocks are longer than others, depending on how the format's laid out. But
it's like TV. I've noticed, you know, the TV's basically 8 or 9 minute segments, and then what's weird, I've seen those commercials for that stuff. You know, even if you have a remote control, with a remote control, doesn't do any good because
look, what I need from television. Is a fair and there's no way to do it without buying all the other crap you don't want. I resent the fact that if I bring cable or satellite or anywhere in here, I am de facto subsidizing the right-wing religion industry, because all those crummy right-wing hustles are on the low numbers of your cable system. That's what you get with basic cable. Is the Trinity Broadcasting Network and the Eternal Word Network and the Angel Fart Network and God's Pubes Network and all of it's out there, and anybody who buys cable, you know, television, is subsidizing that scroobage, and I don't wanna. What I want, and listen, I can, you know, this, sure, send me the emails. I don't care. You know, what I want from cable is to be able to watch college football, college basketball, March Madness, the bowl games, the occasional baseball game during summer. Yes, the Masters, the PGA Championship, the U.S. Open, the British Open, the Super Bowl. I mean, we're establishing a pattern here, aren't we? And yes, I would like to get some news, but there's no news to get. I mean, I sat in a doctor's office waiting room the other day and watched things on the ABC television network. You know, all praise Jeebus, it wasn't on fucking Fox. But yeah, I watched Kelly and Michael, which used to be Regis and Kathy Lee. And I saw some Good Morning America. And I just wanted to get on the very, very hard floor and start beating my head into the flooring. It was just making me feel that stupid, Jim. I'd like it if there were decent documentaries. They're hard to find. Al Jazeera America is folding its tents and going away.
Yeah, well, I've seen on the internet where there's something that's a service you can get, which sounds pretty good, but it's not that much. It's like $2.99 a month or something, where you get documentaries. But it's like, I feel like paying, you know, it's a couple of dollars here, it's a couple of dollars there, and, you know, it's, you know, then you start to talk about some real money. You know, not like the internet doesn't have a lot of options anyway, but, you know, and like I say, it's real cheap. That's $2.99 a documentary. You know, then which angle are they going to come from? You know, it's like the History Channel. It used to be halfway decent, and still sometimes there's some things on it. But I've seen stuff on there where it's just totally, it comes from an extreme, what I consider a right wing or a corporate central point of view. I mean, because that's basically all what right wing is just corporate central, right?
It basically, yes. I mean, I just saw something in the chat room here, Jim. Apparently, and there was mention of it earlier that T-Rump's going to be on MSNBC this evening. They're having Joe Scarborough preempt Chris Hayes for that. I find that so utterly insulting as to be almost inexpressible. I guess because T-Rump was too chicken shit to allow himself to be interviewed by Chris Hayes. Or I'd like to hope maybe this is the case, Chris Hayes, whom I consider to be a decent and really, really good younger journalist, maybe Chris Hayes said, no way in hell. Am I going to let that man have? And so they said, "Well, we'll just get Joe Scarborough to come up here and get on his knees."
Yeah, Joe Scarborough with the dead secretary.
Kusunis! Damn sneezes! I'm sorry.
What's that?
Oh, I had another one. I'm allergic to Joe Scarborough. I have sneezing fits every time his name gets mentioned. Hold on, Kusunis! Okay.
Yeah.
That was a joke. And that was the girl. That was the dead girl's name, Lori Klasutis.
Oh. I see.
Yeah, it's not near as funny when you have to explain the joke, Jim. I mean, yeah. But.
No. You gotta watch
it. I thought you were a comedian once.
You can't. I was. It was Lee Harvey Oswald's stand up comedy. Yeah, Alexis Sasson, Alexis Comic. You can't go too far ahead of what your audience is expecting, you know, above what they're thinking. You know, it's why simple is good, you know, if you can do that, because then you get a mass audience. So that political humor can be hard, you know.
Sure.
You know, then you got to, you know, or you can go the, what's his name, the old Saturday Night Live guy. Hardcore right winger.
Used to be funny guy.
He used to use the multi syllable words. Dennis Miller.
Yeah, right. Yeah, had that brief and, almost completely forgotten by the entire universe gig on Monday Night Football. Yes.
Yeah. And then they tried Rush Limbaugh on that. Remember? They tried him on Saturday. I mean, Monday Night Football. Didn't they?
Yeah. My friends, these Negro quarterbacks get too many breaks in the NFL. See ya, Rush.
Yeah. All right, well, I just thought I'd call in and hope somebody else get through.
All right, well, I got one waiting, so Jim, take care. We'll talk soon.
All right.
All right, bye now. Jim calling from Louisiana, Stan, and hey, it's Charles in Tennessee. Hey, Charles.
How's it going?
Ah, pretty good. How about you?
Oh, well, I just heard a thing on the radio this morning from a right-wing talk show host that Ted Cruz will be showing up here in Nashville and sponsored by an outfit called Proclaiming Justice for the Nations, which is nothing more than a collection agency for Bibi Netanyahu. And it's going to be at the Gaylord Opryland Hotel.
Of course it is. Don't all right-wingers go to the Gaylord Opryland Hotel?
I guess.
Where they had one of their early teabagging conclaves?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's... I don't know. The more I hear about this Cruz guy, the funnier it gets. It's... I mean, he is just really gone off...
Yeah, but the thing is, a certain segment of America loves him. Because, there's one part that thinks he's going to help bring Jesus back, and then they're going to get to go Jew-gigging. And the other part just wants to see everybody else suffer because they're absolutely convinced that they're among the elect, and Jesus is going to go, no, but I like you.
Well, I guess I've got a weird way of looking at things. I think the Jews and the Arabs ought to live in peace in the Middle East and just get along with each other. Maybe... I don't think it has anything to do with their Jesus coming back or anything.
Or the 42nd Imam or any of that. No.
No, I just think people ought to live in peace and harmony and get along with each other.
Yeah, you are. You know, I think there's medicine for that, Charles.
I suppose.
But I would imagine that watching, well, it's kind of like last night Todd talking about watching politics in South Carolina. Watching politics in Tennessee has got to be a blast. I mean, if you can get entertainment value out of the right wing, that broadcast outfit's right there where you live, isn't it? That Jesus-y bunch?
Yeah, it's about it's over in Hendersonville. I live
Twitty City,
50 feet from the Hendersonville Gallatin line. I'm on the Gallatin side, and then about a half a mile down over on the left is that Twitty City or whatever it is.
Well, the former Twitty City, now it's some sort of gospel emporium and broadcast tax-free nightmare.
Yeah, Holy Rolling Hell or something like that. I don't know what they call it.
and look, I mean, you're within a leisurely few hours drive of the soon to open Noah's Ark theme park and tax dodge for former Australians up in Kentucky.
Oh, is this at that creation whatever it is up in Kentucky?
Oh yeah, they're opening a theme park with the Ark and the dinosaurs on the Ark, but you know what? I somehow suspect that they haven't read Mark Twain, Charles, and they will not have a couple of tsetse flies on the Ark.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I think that's a good indication that churches ought to pay taxes.
Well, I don't need any evidence anymore. I just think churches ought to pay taxes, but, you know, I'm a heathen.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm a heathen too, but when you're raking in that much money, there's something wrong.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, we're a capitalist country, rake in money, but, you know, do so while at the same time paying as much as everybody else does.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a list here. Let me scroll down. You might find this interesting, Charles.
There it is. This is a list of the wealthiest gospel sharps in the country. Just check this out. Kenneth Copeland has a $17.5 million jet, lives in a $6 million lakefront mansion with a 1,500-acre campus and a private airstrip, and he and his wife make over $655,000 a year in salary. Now, they don't pay taxes on the jet, and they don't pay taxes on the 1,500-acre campus, and they don't pay taxes on the $6 million lakefront mansion. Creflo Dollar drives a Rolls Royce, has a $1 million home in Atlanta, $2.5 million apartment in Manhattan, and absolutely refuses to release his salary info. West Angeles Church of God in Christ, Charles Blake, 10,000-square-foot mansion in Beverly Hills. And he gets most of his money from impoverished people in South Central, has a yearly salary of $900,000. Benny Hinn, back in 1997, which is the latest we have, his salary was somewhere between $500,000 and $1 million a year. Then there's Joel Osteen, Charles. Lives in a $10.5 million, 17,000-square-foot mansion, tax-free. Very, very vocally and publicly rejected his $200,000 salary because of the millions of dollars that he makes off of his goofy books.
Whatever happened to the Christian saying that you were supposed to lay up your
treasures in heaven?
In heaven. Yeah.
Well, you know, they're just Charles, they're just hedging their bets by laying up a few here on earth while they're at it.
You can never be too careful. The parody thing you have whenever you do your Wednesday night stuff.
Oh, the song?
Yeah.
And it's all tax free. Meanwhile, Carol Baker is busily giggling out in Hooterville at the mention of Gaylord on prayer meeting Wednesday. The goddess of irony works in hilarious ways.
Yep. Well, I've been on here long enough. I'll let somebody else.
All right, Charles. Good to hear from you.
Nice talking to you.
Have a good evening and be safe as you go home or while you're at home. Either way.
Okie doke, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Later now. Bye. I always love hearing from Charles down in Tennessee. Peter Poffalo, I'm not sure. I don't know. Jeremy says he's a real treat, too. Not familiar with that one, mercifully. I'm sure he'll pop up in a clip somewhere along the way, though. As Gerald points out, and this is a good time to point it out, Gary Southern, file this under Justice in America. Gary Southern, along with Denny Farrell, were the two people most responsible for the poisoning of 300,000 people in West Virginia. Writing for the Charleston Gazette, Chris Dorst says, Gary, you want the hockey puck for this, and maybe, I don't know, duct tape your arms to the chair, feet to the floor, whatever, because you're going to be hopping mad. Or maybe you'll just be resigned. Maybe you expected this all along. Gary Southern, the last of six former Freedom Industries officials to face sentencing, will spend 30 days in jail and pay a $20,000 fine for his role in what are described in this story as pollution crimes that caused what is now referred to as the January 2014 Elk River chemical spill, as opposed to calling it the Freedom Disaster, because, see, that's what it was. It was a disaster caused by Freedom Industries.
at the same time, it was also a disaster caused by our perverse notion of freedom in this country. After he does 30 days, he'll have 6 months of supervised release by the U.S. Probation Office. Oh, my. And once again, U.S. District Judge Thomas Johnston, George W. Bush appointee, said of Gary Southern, and if you remember the Freedom Disaster, you remember the footage of him standing there with a bottle of water in his hand saying, "I've had a very bad day." U.S. District Judge Thomas Johnston said, "Like the others, this defendant is hardly a criminal. I stand by that statement." Now you take the hockey puck out and you vomit. Steve in New York says, I'll bring the pitchforks and torches if you organize the mob. I'm serious, really. Steve, there won't be any pitchforks and there won't be any torches and there won't be any mob. Because here in West Virginia, we understand that our place in this world is to be poisoned by corporations. Our place in this world is to be tormented by our wealthy betters. Our place in West Virginia is to die so they can make more money. Our place is to serve servile, groveling at the feet of our betters. And if 300,000 people get poisoned along the way, so what? I'm convinced that this man was in no way a criminal. I wonder how many young black males U.S. District Judge Thomas Johnston has sent away for a very, very long time. Huh? So it's over. Well, no, it's not over. There are around 300,000 people in a 9-county area in West Virginia who are waiting for that day when something happens inside their body and they go to the doctor and they go, and the doctor says, "I'm sorry, you've got cancer." I'll say, "Well, cancer, I guess it's over then. Wonder what caused it." No idea. Well, I did drink some of that methylchlorohexane methanol-laced water. Well, I'm sure that didn't cause it, because those guys at Freedom were by no means criminals. The concept of justice in this state, and largely in this country, is so perverted, so twisted, so dead, that only a political revolution can begin to even have any hope of restoring anything resembling justice. Thirty days in jail and 6 months probation for poisoning 300,000 thousand human beings. Wonder if Hillary will come down here and call and call that a miscarriage of justice. I would certainly welcome it if she did. I would feel much better about her if she did. But so far, the only thing she can say about Appalachia is that she cares about the miners. Hell, I care about the miners. But I also care about the people who aren't miners, who live up hollers, who breathe ultra-fine, micro-fine, 10, 2.5, less than 1 less than 100 you know. Fine particulate dust. And for their trouble wind up with children with birth defects, or wind up with premature deaths, or wind up with heart disease or cancer, genitourinary diseases. What did Hillary say about mountaintop removal? There it is. I'm concerned about it for all the reasons people state. But I think it's a difficult question because of the conflict between the economic and environmental trade-off that you have here. See, economic and environmental trade-off means we trade the integrity of our bodies for their economic well-being. You know, people on Wall Street who give big political contributions. You know, maybe there's a way to recover those mountaintops once they've been stripped of the coal. You know, I think we've got to look at this from a practical perspective. Yeah, absolutely. A whole bunch of people are practically dead. Yay. Praise Jesus. Hey, let's go over to the wonderful world of the Southern California LA area code. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mr. Kincaid, how the hell are you?
How you doing, Miss Tracy?
Well, I was listening to, you know, you talking, and then I realized it was such a perfect segue into last night, the whole series of The Outsiders.
You got to watch it?
About,
I didn't.
Oh,
no spoilers, please.
Okay, I won't say a word. I won't say a word, so you've seen up to the first three episodes. This was episode four last night?
Right.
Okay. So, you mean I passed you?
Oh, yes. I gotta figure out some way to watch it, but.
Yeah. Well, I watched it. Do you have cable?
Oh, no.
Or something?
No.
Okay.
The budget does not allow it.
Well, I think because I watched the first episode today, the next day after, so it might be online.
No, only the first three episodes were online.
It might be online tomorrow because I watched it online. That's how I watched it, because I forgot about it, and I watched it. I think it was a couple of days later. So that's what how they typically do it. But it's just, it's such, just watching these corporate assholes playing the townspeople against the mountain folk. Because why? Jobs? And what did we talk about yesterday? How many people usually get these? How many people? Is it about 10 people? Per site?
Yeah, 10 to 15 people. Now let's be clear. There are ancillary jobs that flow out of those jobs. You know, people who drive coal trucks, people who work at companies that provide the heavy equipment, people who deliver the ammonium nitrate and fuel oil, things like that.
Mm-hmm. But is that enough to keep a whole community with a job?
No.
No.
I mean, and you know, there would be no joy in a trip like this for you, Tracy. But I could take you places. I could show you a place called Whitesville, West Virginia. Burned up with pills, eaten up with meth, plywood on the plate glass windows like a hurricane's getting ready to come through. Because the town's dead. And it all sits in the shadow of 9 billion gallons of toxic waste behind an earthen mound.
But Hillary said that you could probably put the mountain back.
Yeah, this ain't young Frankenstein, you know. Put the candle back. This ain't that.
It's so sad.
I'm trying to figure out something here. Granted, that quote from Hillary was 2008, but mm-hmm. she goes to Flint and she talks about economic and environmental racism, and yet she was as silent as a graven image 2 years ago when 300,000 people in Appalachia were poisoned. Why, Tracy? Why? What is it about us hillbillies that makes us beneath her notice? That makes us absolutely expendable. What is it about us?
Expendable. It's the same thing as it is about us as black people. It's like, what is it that makes you look at me and know nothing about me? And automatically assume that I am the worst thing coming.
But she's up in Michigan beating the economic and environmental racism drum. And rightly so. I don't want to be misperceived. And rightly so.
When is she going to beat the drum about you? When is she going to beat the drum about Black Lives Matter? About the disproportionate amount of black men in jail? For crime, nonviolent crime. What about the disproportional amount of black people living in poverty?
What about the people whose ancestors have been on this continent for 10,000-15,000 years in places like northern Arizona, who have had their water poisoned for decades?
Or about the indigenous women that are just disappearing without a trace and nobody's saying anything?
So I'm trying. Why? Can you touch that, Tracy?
Well, see, I've come to the conclusion that I need to become a very rich black lesbian.
I'm down with that.
Because that would piss off the right wing so much with my Jewish wife. I'm not talking like Koch brothers money or anything like that. But to make a contribution and to say, behind my money is a whole lot of other people that are putting their money behind me and with behind you, and you might want to do something. Because, well, first of all, we got to get rid of Citizens United. That's case, and we got to get rid of the dirty money in politics, which is part of Citizens United, because the thing is, until we do, we're powerless. Oh, and then there's that. You know what? I've been wanting to ask you, what do we do about gerrymandering? Because until something happens with that, isn't it a rigged game?
Well, part of the game certainly is, and the reason for doing it was it makes voting much more difficult for state legislative races. It makes voting much more difficult for. There's gerrymandering. Wait. I'm getting ahead of myself. There's gerrymandering, Tracy, and then there's voter suppression.
Okay, no, I'm talking about. We already know about voter suppression because, that only affects poor people and people of color who can't get to, voting booths or find a place to go get an ID or have the money to get an ID, or old people who never had a birth certificate.
Well, the drawing of districts is dependent upon the census, which is constitutionally mandated every 10 years. And depending on who is the president, because the census is taken by an arm of the government that's under the executive branch, and the president can exercise his executive power to determine how we go about taking the census.
the census is every 20 years, right?
10. Every 10.
10. So wait, we had a 10 years ago. So when
there was a census in 2010, redistricting took place, and because we have a Supreme Court that at that point in time had no interest in making sure or overseeing any sort of basic fairness in the way districts were drawn, well, you know, you wind up with gerrymandered districts.
So basically, 2016, so 2020, we have a chance to make this right depending on who's our president and who's on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, oh yeah. Interestingly, the question that I just asked you about, you know, why not hillbillies? You know, our buddy Ron in the far frozen wastes of Ottawa is an expat hillbilly. He comes from around here.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. And he said hillbillies are the only ethnic group that absolutely everyone can disparage. We can't tell Black, Irish, Polish, Newfie, Indian jokes any longer. But when's the last time you heard anyone chastised because they told a hillbilly joke? It seems to be human nature that everyone needs to have someone to look down upon, and hillbillies seem to be the last group everyone can disparage and laugh at without reprisal.
Yeah.
And whose poisoning can be ignored at will. Or without a will.
Without a will.
You know, just ignore it. It's you know, forget it, Jake. It's Appalachia.
Well, it's like, I wrote a paper about, you know, it's like the things that can be ignored and nobody pays attention to. And when I write, like right now, when I'm trying to write this stupid paper, well, it's not a stupid, it's about ethics. And you get to that point where, what are ethics? What is moral? What, you know, what does anybody care about? And the answer is,
yeah. It just gets a little frustrating, Tracy.
I mean,
30 days in jail for two people who were so negligent that they poisoned 300,000 people.
Well, what's going to happen with the people, with the governor of Michigan?
Not a damn thing.
Okay.
See, this is one of the failings of our system of government. The people who designed it, who envisioned it, flawed though they were, made some certain assumptions, Tracy. And they assumed that everybody would care about, you know, our form of government. And that, Madison in the Federalist Papers goes on and on and on about the dangers of faction, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes right down to it, the country was splintering into factions before his ink was dry. And so, for instance, if you had a responsible responsible state government in Michigan, even though it's a Republican majority government, impeachment hearings would have been opened against Rick Snyder.
Mm-hmm.
But that ain't how it works. You know, with Richard M. Nixon, a couple of principled Republicans went to him and said, "Look, you're toast. And you're gonna wind up in the Gray Bar Hotel if you don't get the hell out of Dodge." You know, the amount of harm that was done to this country when Ford pardoned Nixon. I don't think we're yet far enough away from it to be able to estimate what it actually was, and is. You know, it wasn't that long after Watergate that Morning in America, Ronald Reagan decided to sell arms to the terrorists.
Yeah. Which ones?
The Iranians. While at the same, in exchange for hostage, you know, he traded arms for hostages, and then he illegally supported the Contras, and got caught dead to rights.
And then the
publisher and editor of the Washington Post declared, America cannot withstand another constitutional crisis. America was designed to withstand constitutional crises. It's ignoring those constitutional crises, Tracy, that gets us in such a damn nasty little fix.
We're going through that right now at my church about ignoring things. And it's like, just because you ignore it doesn't mean it's going to go away. It's going to make it worse. It's like ignoring a toothache. I mean, and usually we have to ignore, like, who was talking about the bullshit that is dental insurance, why those two are not tied together with medical and dental, because of how many things can happen if you don't have dental care. But it also leads to stroke, diabetes, heart attacks, you know, all this, you know. Who was talking about how many teeth they lost that they were going to have to get a dental and fix? I'm right behind you. Do you need a backup singer?
There we go.
Because of how many teeth I've lost. I used to have a gorgeous smile.
And imagine, okay, just to kind of bring it back around, imagine, because this is a true story. A mama up a holler in West Virginia called Printer Holler, P-R-E-N-T-E-R, Holler. Good mama. Raising her youngins, had them brushing their teeth after every meal, taking good care of their mouths. And the next thing you knew, she was taking them to the dentist because her children's teeth were literally dissolving in their heads. Because her water had been poisoned by the coal industry. That same woman lives in a place where a form of brain cancer that occurs only once in 100,000 times in the general population happened 7 times in 7 houses sitting right next to each other. The only thing they had in common was the water source that they all tapped into with their wells. I think something like 6 of the 7 people who got that form of brain cancer are now dead.
Okay. And here we go.
I want you to feel good about one thing, though, Tracy. I can tell you as fact that Bernie Sanders despises and makes no bones about it mountaintop removal. That is fact. I've sat in meetings where we've tried to figure out a way to end mountaintop removal. That's Bernie Sanders. Hillary Clinton thinks that we have to be practical about it because of the economic and environmental trade-off, and that maybe we can put the mountains back. I don't need to hear about whether or not college is free stuff. I don't need to hear about whether or not we can have universal single-payer health care or whether never, ever. That one thing right there establishes where my primary vote in the Democratic primary of West Virginia up in May, that one factor establishes who is going to get my vote in the Democratic primary. Now, does that make me an ignorant single-issue voter, Tracy?
Sure.
Or is that just close enough to home that it's okay if that overrides everything else?
Well, the same with me. If Bernie Sanders comes out when he was talking about black, you know, young black men being shot in the streets, the thing that he did with Eric Garner's daughter, like she's voting. That's my issue. Like mountaintop removal with you, Black Lives Matter with me.
Sure.
You know.
And yet somehow you're not buying into the narrative, Tracy, that that Hillary loves all them black people, and all the black folks just got to vote for Hillary. You're not buying into that, are you?
No, and I've gotten into heated debate. It's not heated because most black people, black people that I talk to are reasoned. And I'm doing my best to get them to listen and really hear Bernie Sanders and stop listening to Hillary saying that we have to be practical. Because as I remember in 2007, they told Barack to slow his roll and let the white woman take over. And that was coming from Andrew Young. Wait your turn, boy. Wait your turn. If not now, when?
See, you say that, and I'm not critiquing you, Tracy. That just sounds so ugly and so hateful and so mean. But the problem is, it's also so true.
It's true. You know, Martin Luther King wrote a book, Why We Can't Wait. Mm-hmm. And basically it outlines why we can't. Why do I have to? We've waited for 300 motherfucking years plus. And that was before the civil, you know, the Voting Rights Act and all this other stuff.
Yeah. And you know, going back to the whole voting thing real quick, gutting the Voting Rights Act is a big part of it all.
Oh, yeah.
Carol just sent me a note. She said, when they redrew the districts here, my state rep used to live up the road from me. Since Blue Dog Democrat Ike Skelton was taken out by Vicky Hartzler, the district is solidly red. They redrew it so that we've been sliced into Emanuel Cleaver's blue Kansas City district to heavily dilute the progressive vote. I'm 40 miles from the city, but Vicky Hartzler lives just up the road. That's the result of gerrymandering. She literally lives just down the road from a member of the state legislature, but her district is 40 miles away in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. We lost two reps when they did whatever they did to California, Brad Sherman and Jesus. And actually, they had to fight it out because of the redistricting. Yeah, there was a fight at the debate.
Yeah.
Was it Brad Sherman and, oh my God, I can't think of the other guy's name.
Well, by the way, I did get your note, and I'm off and running to on some new reading material. So I really appreciate that.
Not a problem. I like I said, we think. I mean, because if you like Justified and you know Elmore Leonard and all those other people like that, and like I said, it's noir with black people.
No, I'm gonna be on it. I read so much reality. I read so much news that I have to read something to take me away from it all. Just to keep my brain from freezing up.
Exactly.
So that's going to be fun.
You're gonna thank me. You're gonna like be like, you're about to find somebody named Easy. Well, his name is actually Ezekiel.
Right.
So, but you'd be like, Easy, what's up, homie? I mean, it's just like I said, I haven't read for pleasure in the last 3 years because I've been in school, and every time I try to read something just because I want to read it, it doesn't work out very well because I don't have the attention span.
Or the time.
And I get to that point where I'm just like, I just don't care. I mean, let me just rephrase that. I care. I care about my education. I want to do things to change the world and all that. But you know what, Bob? If I could do something without having to finish school, And do wonderful things and still make a living. Because, of course, I could do wonderful things now and be advocating for people and protesting and stuff. But I'm a very shallow person, Bob.
Oh, we all look. If we don't have moments of shallow, we're screwed.
I like nice things, and it's not even clothes and shoes and stuff like that. I would be happy wearing Specs and Converse for the rest of my life. I'm good. However, we had a discussion about the stove. We found the refrigerator and the washer and the dryer, and these things take money, Bob. I wish I was in a financial position just to be that advocate. You know what I wish? Because I was thinking about this morning when I was when I was picking up my kid, going to take her to school. One of the guys, and that whole black rich black lesbian thing came to me about because this is how I think. Because I went from those assholes up in Oregon, and he was back to them. More than likely the Koch brothers, and me being able to back up Black Lives Matter and have a defense fund for them. So that any and every time they're arrested, no big deal. They can make bail. They can have a lawyer. They can have that phone call. You know what? Have that set up. Have the kind of money that I can have a safety net for them. Any time I heard, I would have just people, because I'm going to be that rich black lesbian, and I would have people just specifically with their ears to the ground to hear about somebody that was arrested because they were trying to make a difference. And having the kind of money to say, that's okay, just go ahead and bail them out and have a lawyer waiting for them or whatever. It reminds me, one of my favorite movies of all time, Harlem Nights. The scene when you've seen it, of course, haven't you?
Yes.
Okay, so that scene when they have the raid on Richard Pryor's club and they arrest everybody in the club, right? And Richard Pryor walks into, walks into the police station with the, asking the death sergeant how much the bail is. And I forget how much the amount was. And he's just chuckling like, this nigga ain't got this kind of money, right? So what does Richard Pryor do? He opens up his briefcase and throws the amount. Whatever that amount was, no problem. I got this. And what does he do? Bail every single person out. And then Della Reese walks out and says my most favorite line in the movie. Kiss my entire ass. And we all know Della Reese at that time was not a little person.
No.
I can't even talk to her because all she's doing is stopping her guns.
Wow. There's dialogue.
Yeah.
Well, Tracy, I tell you what, I'm gonna roll so that other folks can jump in, and I'm gonna take a quick break. It has been lovely talking with you again this evening.
As always.
And say hi to everybody and. Well, I can tell you is, thanks for coming out here on the ledge with me.
Not a problem. Come on back. It'll be okay.
That's all right. Yeah, I'm not going to flick a cigarette butt on the people on the people 40 stories below. I promise I won't.
Okay, cool.
Talk to you later, Tracy.
All right, bye.
Bye now. The one and only Tracy, the lady cab driver from Southern California. Oh, let's see. Let's check in on a few observations. Down in Australia, Jennifer says, when I mentioned the Hillary quote again, there goes Hillary with her glue gun and her raffia. Jennifer noted, no, Hillary, you can't put a mountain back together with a glue gun and some raffia. Nope. Then Jennifer said, you may recall that friend of mine in California who said, regarding Trayvon Martin, that people in Florida should expect these things. She also said regarding Appalachia, why don't they just move? Yeah, that's why I typed friend in quotes. How can other Americans say, why don't they just move? If I'm losing friends like this from this far away, people must be losing friends like flies up there if people say things like that. And it happens. I try not to lose friends like this. Because I've been the recipient of why don't you just move? But there's a certain amount of stubbornness that obtains. This little acre has been part of my family since 1937. There are family farms all around here. And by God, we were here first. And so I'm not inclined to simply flee. No. Not at all. And frankly, this is not a very mobile country anymore. It's not like we could just bug out and go somewhere else. So there's that. Note coming in from Ron up in Canada. He says, by the way, I'm taking one for the team right now. I'm listening to you and Tracy whilst watching the Joe Mika Donald show at the same time. Whoa. All that time in a combat information center, multiplexing channels is coming in handy. The one trend I've noticed thus far is that, one, he's being fed softball questions wrapped in the banner of serious journalism, and two, Donald is starting a move to the center. It gives me the impression that he's convinced he's got enough of the right-wing vote to get all the delegates he needs from that voting bloc, and he now needs to begin massaging the center and undecided Republican voters. I'm starting to think he's getting serious about being president. Gag me with a spoon. Well, look, I guess we'll call this the Jimmy Carter conundrum now, because he answered the same question. As between Rafael Cruz or Rafaelito Cruz or little Marco Rubio or Jebbia or Trump. At least the guy's willing to say that George Bush was a criminal who should have been prosecuted and removed from office. That's more guts than most people were willing to exhibit, Democrats included. Remember when Nancy Pelosi said impeachment is off the table? Because I do. Oh, yeah, I do. Jennifer adds in, fright wing. Oh, my God, that's so great. Toaster. Amen. She also said, it's just too cold for me, Bob, just too cold. I was raised by very warm, respectful people to never say such things, even in the privacy of my head. Talking about, why don't they just move? Yeah. Well, see, there's a decency over on our side that largely simply does not exist over on the right wing. Gerald says, Bob, like you, I hear, why don't you just leave? Okay, fair enough. My response is, where will I go? My family are all here. My job for the time being is here. Everything that I have ever known is here. How can I just leave all of that? And Gerald's last name is of an ethnicity identical to mine. And so at some point in time, his ancients did just leave. But there was somewhere to leave to, even if it meant coming over here and clawing and fighting and scratching and dying and murdering. I mean, I'm not beating on your people, Gerald. I'm beating on mine. It's what they did. But there was somewhere to come to. We're fresh out. Now, some people left Appalachia a century ago. There was I don't know if he was a Republican or a Democrat, don't care. There was a member of the Oregon State Legislature who was a Kincaid a generation back. Because that part of the family lit out for the territories. They lit out for Ohio. They lit out for Indiana. Some of them kept moving. Some of them liked it here and stayed. And on the one hand, you cuss it. And on the other, if you leave it, you're not gone for long before you're pining. And that's a real world, or a real word. 11 slots remain in the secret open carry Roundup Society Roundup offer this evening. Whatever contribution you make gets rounded up by 10 bucks, thanks to the executive director of the secret open carry Roundup Society. Your 5 becomes 15, your 10, 20, your 20, 30. 11 slots remain. I hope folks will take the society up on that kind and generous offer. And with the why don't they leave? Jennifer says it's not free to move. It requires a lot of money to fucking move. Plus, if you move, who's going to stay to fight for one of the planet's, one assumes, still most beautiful places? There need to be pockets of resistance. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Pocket. That's me. About 24 minutes before the hour, and we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to run this song or bust in the process. Try it again. Jason Isbell. 24 frames.
This is how you make yourself vanish into nothing. And this is how you make yourself worthy of the love that she gave to you back when you didn't own a beautiful thing. And this is how you make yourself call your mother. And this is how you make yourself closer to your brother. Remember him back when he was small enough to help you sing. You thought God was an architect. Now you know he's something like a pipe bomb ready to blow. And everything you built, it's all for show, goes up in flames in 24 frames.
Told you it was special. Yeah, very special indeed. So this is still prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. A couple of notes. Jeremy in Vermont says, as a Vermont native, Bernie, well, he's not a Vermont native, he's from Brooklyn, but he's been there long enough. That's not, but we don't apply the West Virginia standard. You ain't from around here. Bernie hates all harm done to the environment by pigfuck capitalists. Hillary doesn't give a shit about the common person. Just take a look at Chelsea's $10 million apartment, fuckers. Devin says, pocket? No, try abscess. Yeah, okay, that works too. Let's see. We got about 21 minutes left in the program. And it is prayer meeting Wednesday, so shall we check out some... shall we check out some additional stupid? Aha! By the way, we now have only 10 slots left in the secret open carry Roundup Society offer for the evening. Carl, you're $6.66. Just got rounded up to $7, and then had 10 added to it. So that's $17. Thank you very, very kindly, Carl. 10 slots to go. It can happen for you as well. Philip with a note regarding Citizens United and other matters. We keep citing Citizens United as evidence of what needs to be addressed in our electoral system, as if addressing campaign funding issues will reform our system. Similarly, Clinton speaks in terms of reform rather than reform. Thanks to you, I've been reading Joe Bagent lately, and he confirms my belief as a college-educated working-class slob, a rarity in my family after three generations here, that we have always had a class-based system and have never had a real voice in our system of government. When I read the Federalist Papers, I espy an inherent fear of the uneducated masses and the need to govern through the elite, which is, in part, why the citizenry was not permitted initially to elect its own senators. My parents benefited from the United States domination of the world economy as the sole intact survivor of World War II, and the success of the Union movement in creating the working and middle classes that afforded them the hope that their children would fare even better than they. They were wrong, and it was heartbreaking to hear my dad realize in his late old age how rigged the game is, and understand why only one of his children owned property while the rest of us rent, as if paying mortgage for 30 years at exorbitant interest rates is not renting from the bank. It reminded me of the heated argument we had when I informed him in 1969 that the FBI and Chicago police executed Fred Hampton, and how crestfallen he was when he discovered I was right. To see one's parents' illusions and optimism destroyed is, at a minimum, disconcerting. As for Hillary, anyone who celebrates our successful intervention in Libya and the blooming of democracy in Egypt has no legitimate perspective on world or national events and policies. So for the sake of simplicity, I'll end this with the Democrats want to govern, the Republicans want to rule, and Sanders wants us to participate in our own government, while Clinton is convinced that she knows best what we need for good governance, and only she is capable of properly overseeing it. I hate to be reductionist and simplistic, but after a while I get tired of the BS we employ to rationalize living in a country in which class war has raged throughout my adult years and white supremacy has continued, Obama's election notwithstanding, with relatively minor revisions. I appreciate Sanders' optimism. He's the only presidential candidate in my lifetime who's made me excited about voting and a believer that I have a significant choice, but I'm all too aware of backroom deals and the power of money, so I caution my 20-something daughters to not expect too much in this election. And I find that truly sad. Be well. Philip. What you wrote about your dad, Philip, reminded me of my own. My father didn't know it, but he only had 4 years to live when we invaded Iraq. And he looked at me with tears in his eyes, and he said, This is not why I spent that time in the belly of an aircraft carrier all over the South Pacific with people trying to kill me. This is not what I did that to save. And there were tears in his eyes. Michael in Madison asks, subject line, Trump versus Hillary. Isn't it going to get a little awkward for Hillary in the fall if Trump is the GOP nominee? Trump having been on record, and now raising the issue again, as opposing W. and Dick's illegal war, while Secretary Clinton voted for it, and hasn't apologized because, you know, people make mistakes. Well, you know, Michael, I still maintain that a mistake is when you, you know, set the TiVo for Fox News instead of, you know, Downton Abbey. That's a mistake. Senator Clinton's vote for the Iraq War was a god-awful disaster, and it demands an apology. Michael continues and says, I'm not saying I'd ever in a million years vote Trump over Hillary, but for fuck's sake, we need Bernie. I fear Hillary's nomination could spell disaster. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I frankly expect if Hillary Clinton is the nominee for her to lose the presidential election and lose spectacularly. You know, Trump's not an idiot. He knows things happen in people's brains when he says that George W. Bush should have been impeached for the Iraq War and the lies surrounding it. He knows. And in a little bit of his own 11D-dimensional chess, he forced Jebbia to bring Dim Leader to South Carolina. And everybody knew what was going on. Hey, it's Ron. In Canada, where the streets are clear and there's no hump in the driveway.
No hump in the driveway. Well, you could, but it'd be kind of chilly out there. But
you know, I can't leave you alone for a minute. Dadgummit.
Memory is a powerful thing, Bob.
That it is.
I got to tell you, you read a note I'd sent you earlier about watching Trump.
Now, I trust it's over by now.
No, not yet.
Damn.
He's got the most prematurely orange hair since Ronald Reagan.
Ronnie's hair was orange?
Yep. Yep.
It was.
Yeah. Anyway, this has been...
If you saw that... And I wondered if it was deliberate. They put that red background up at the last Republican pageant.
Yep.
If you saw any footage of it, Trump almost got lost in the background.
No, it's very soft and demure in the background. Almost nothing but white faces.
Like God intended.
Yeah. And Mika's attempting to look intelligent. Joe looks like he needs an enema.
Yes.
Yeah. But... I sent you a note, which I can talk about here. He just came out with something, made me replay the dialogue about three times to make sure I heard it correctly. One of the first things he would do under the category of cutting waste was to force the major drug companies to negotiate a national agreement on drug prices. He said, we're the only country in the world that doesn't do that. We could save $300 billion a year. Now, when's the last time you heard anybody purporting to be a Republican say something like that?
Nev and
Yeah. And he's moving to the center, turning into that bombastic moderate that we have all been expecting.
I never bought into the talking point that, you know, he's just in here. You know, this is just a sideshow. The man sees an opportunity.
Now, why he'd want to be president, I don't know, except for the fact that for someone who is hopelessly addicted to power, it's the greatest aphrodisiac on the planet. Or in the solar system, as far as we can tell. Maybe the universe.
He looks like he could use an aphrodisiac.
I mean, this is a chance for him to be Zaphod Beeblebrock.
There you go. Yeah. Blasting entire planets out of the way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I just thought I'd call in a few minutes earlier than I normally do because we always seem to find something to talk about.
Absolutely. Jennifer just observed, as a matter of fact, didn't Ron say he should call in earlier? And you did, and you should.
And I did. I would point out that in Canada, the provinces provide health care, and every single one of the provinces has a negotiated agreement with the drug companies on prices, mm-hmm. which is one of the reasons prices are so much lower. The second thing is the healthcare system is very open to the use of generics. And unless your doctor specifically mentions that, for example, a cholesterol medicine must be Lipitor, has to be specific as opposed to a simple statin, you will get a generic drug.
That's largely the case down here. I'm on two brand specific drugs myself, and no harm in saying it. One of them's Crestor, and the other one is Tricor.
Yep.
Because the generics are not equivalent.
And the same would hold true up here. If it wasn't equivalent for what was being treated, you would get the major brand, name brand, if you will. But by and large, drug costs up here are a hell of a lot cheaper than they are down south. Well, my mom was paying something like $180 a month for a drug, I forget what it was, Claritin D. And I don't know whether it was because somebody thought you could turn it into some kind of a meth. Narcotic. Up here, I can buy a package of Claritin D for $17, $18, take it down to her every time I go down, and save her a ton of money. And it's available over the counter up here.
Right, do you put them up in the wheel well on the way down south, or?
No, there's no restrictions on bringing them in. It's only in Ohio they seem to have that rule. Now, maybe in a few other states. Once I'm across the border in Ogdensburg, I'm laughing. As far as I know, there's no restrictions on me taking down over-the-counter pharmaceuticals in Canada. I've never seen any rules about that. Speaking of which, I need to go to Ogdensburg in the relatively near future and deposit this little Spanish cedar box that I picked up over the weekend.
Oh, yes?
Oh, yeah.
Spanish cedar box.
Yeah.
What on earth could possibly be in a Spanish cedar box?
Well, not top shelf, machine made, but really good for the price.
We don't want it near any open flame unintentionally.
No, not unintentionally. It's got to be intentional.
Yes.
And I think I'll forego the opportunity to send along the Cuban rum, but a box of cigars.
Ooh.
If I can get across the border with them and find the time to do it, I make absolutely no promises.
Well, there's that time thing. I mean, you are sort of on a you're on a clock, as it were.
Well, we're somewhere between mañana and inshallah.
That's a book title.
Yes, it is. And it describes so many things. Right now, just to drop into, it's a cultural thing. In December, we were told we received two RFPs, and overlapped, and we said, can we reply to these with one statement of work? And they said, oh, yes, absolutely. We did. Now they've come back to us a month after the initial submission, all 180 pages of it, and ask us to break it into two parts, which exactly mirror...
Right, yeah, because of course you can do it in one, but then we will ask you to break it in two.
Right. And
it's like those twin pop popsicles. It's what, but you can break it in two.
Yes, but see, we knew that. Like I was a trade commissioner.
But
that
you put
part
it,
of,
you put it in the bill. I mean, that gets billed, right?
Oh, yea, verily, son. Oh,
well, we're everybody's happy.
Yes, they are. but I'm sitting here now. They're saying they want to close the first part of the contract by the end of this month. In the second contract by the end of March. And, you know, my wife keeps saying, so when are you going over there? And I'm going, yeah, inshallah. I know I'll be there.
As God wills it.
As God wills it. But it would make a nice title for a book, wouldn't it? I should take some notes while I'm over there.
When it is written. You will go when it is written.
Yes. It's a long way.
And this, of course, is where you fire up Lawrence of Arabia and Peter O'Toole. Nothing is written. But, no, I'm sorry. One of my favorite movies. You know, yeah. April in Abu Dhabi has kind of a ring to it, too.
It does. And I am so looking forward to getting just south of Abu Dhabi. The late springtime of the year is when the best light is supposed to happen at sunrise and sunset. And start taking pictures of dunes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, just make sure to, while you're out, walk without rhythm so as not to attract the sandworms, okay?
Mm. yeah. One of my favorite series of books. Frank Herbert was a brilliant.
Well, do you know where the initial inspiration for that came from?
No. No.
Frank Herbert was a struggling writer, a technical writer, magazine writer, whatever, got to write. And he heard about a U.S. government program to modify the Oregon dunes and began writing an article about that. And then the ideas started coming fast and furious.
Yeah.
And it turned out, of course, that federal government program to manage the dunes was disastrous, and what you need to do with dunes is leave dunes alone, because nature does very well by itself. It's kind of like the barrier islands of the southeastern United States and the Gulf Coast. All that, you know, look, we found out the best way in the world to make a substantial chunk of land disappear is to go apeshit crazy dredging things, and look, Louisiana's gone. Or going.
Going, and parts of West Virginia are as well.
Well, there is that.
But you may or may not know, the latest Star Wars was all the desert scenes were filmed in just south of Abu Dhabi.
I didn't know that, no. With the original, they used, what, Tunisia?
Tunisia and Morocco, yeah. But there's one area of dunes... roughly an hour from the center of town, where the typical dune is 300 feet high.
Wow.
And you can go out in the evening. They send tours out, and you can go sand surfing and sand skiing.
Oh, now that's just cool.
Isn't it? I'll have to get my wife to try that.
fun by proxy.
Yes. Tell me how it goes. Yeah.
that would be gorgeous, though. Yeah. Jennifer says, you didn't call in early enough. I could listen to you two read the phone book.
That's because I've got a cold and I've got my FM announcer's voice going.
No, I think it's more content-based.
Yeah.
And you still got a long plane ride, so I'm so excited at the prospect of getting a review of Broken Angels.
Yep.
You'll knock that down while you're gone.
It is a 20-hour flight,
you know, Anthony Bourdain recommends a handful of high quality opiates and a blast of bourbon at Wheels Up, and then make the 20 hours go away.
Two things to do. One is a really good meal followed by a double with a gravol. That works. And the other one is get the first meal, and then there's something called melatonin.
Yes.
Really tiny little pills, and they help you adjust to the jet lag, plus help you sleep, and away you go. You can pick up probably 3 or 4 hours on a given flight in terms of jet lag.
You know, I do a lot of weird things. We're running out of time, of course, but
yeah, of course.
I love to go to airline sites and check out their first class amenities.
Yeah,
because you know, for those of us who ride back in steerage next to the bathroom, there really is a different world up there. I mean, was it Japan Air I was looking at, or maybe South Korean Air?
Yeah. Any of the Asian airlines. Yeah.
Whoa. Well, and the Arabic airlines too.
Now go to Etihad, Etihad. That's the national airlines. That's the one I tend to fly on because it goes into Abu Dhabi directly. And just, you know, bounce around their site and look at some of the amenities, particularly the ones involving the 787s and the Airbus
A380s.
Yeah.
The A380s are just amazing. One of these days.
Nothing that big should be able to fly. You can talk to me about the Bernoulli principle all you want. I know if you put enough thrust to it, you can get a brick into orbit. But it's...
But damn,
it's a big airplane.
Hey, Ron, have a good evening. Stay okay. Warm. Give my regards to the kindly reverend.
You noticed that, did you?
I notice everything. It's my job.
I'll try to call in earlier sometime, Bob.
Yeah, do that, would you?
Yay, verily, son.
All right, talk to you later.
Have a good evening.
You too. Bye. And thanks for the help. Our buddy Ron in far Ottawa. It is time to get out of here, and we're going to get out of here in a hurry. Hey, look, Thorn in the Side Thursday tomorrow. Yes. And 10 slots remain in the secret open carry Roundup Society Roundup offer. 10 slots remain. Every contribution gets $10 added to it thanks to the secret open carry Roundup Society. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this go. One and all, thank you. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.